Welcome to another episode. So, I am an avid TikTok watcher. Honestly, spend more time than I would like to admit on TikTok. But I have such, I guess, an obsession with it to some degree. I think we all enjoy short form entertainment. We probably all have shortened attention spans now. But, one thing that I was watching Therapy Speaks on TikTok and earlier today, actually, and she has such amazing points. So a couple of things that she said that made me really think about myself, as I'm assuming that's what she wanted. So one of the first things she said was, for those that know me, my name is Dr. Nina. And I know you're probably wondering, well, what does that have to do with anything and why did that make you think? Well, I suppose it's hard for us to name ourselves, or in particular, those of us who have battled with low self-esteem. It has been difficult for us to name ourselves, and in positive lights is essentially what I mean. So as I've stated before, I just finished up with my PhD inside of like 4 months. Like, we're right at the 4 month marker. And it was so difficult for me to see myself as a doctor. But I've been questioning why this has been hard for me. And one thing that I've come to settle is that it's difficult for me to attach things to myself or to see myself in a way that is beaming and positive, even though I do these things. So, many years ago, probably close to a decade, if not more, I had an acquaintance that she would say, Alondra, we're artists. And it was so difficult for me to say that, to see that in the moment, particularly because I didn't see her as an artist. And there were just a lot of things that were attached to that situation as to why I didn't. I called to question how she replicated some of the things that she did. But like me, who had gone through formal and informal art training, had had private lessons and tutors, and, you know, had won ribbons and things at school, had gotten pictures with illustrators, like actual children's book illustrators, could not put myself in that light. And it was because I didn't think super highly of myself, and I didn't possess the ability to stand outside of myself and to gauge what I had done. So it was easy for me to convert that and translate it into grad school once I went, particularly because there were professors who made it their business, it seemed, to make it difficult. They threw out of the window who they knew me as an undergrad and the accolades that, you know, God allowed me to receive, and made it their business to pretty much throw on the boxing gloves and just go full force. And so I took myself out of the space of creator and put myself into the space of like novice student who didn't know a thing. And I know that there are other grad students that I have been affiliated with who have had similar processes within their tenure as grad students, whether they were master's students or PhD or master's to PhD students and candidates. And oh gosh, it made me realize that this thing is designed to rip you to pieces, to rebuild you as the institution wants you, and you lose a sense of self in that. And I mentioned before, there have been so many amazing things that I have had the wonderful privilege to be a part of, and I can only thank God that He's given me the talent to do that. But I lost myself in trying to gain a new perspective, I suppose, of academics. And in so doing, it became difficult for me to attach the label of designer, artist, and so forth to me because I felt like a bit of that was stripped from me. I remember I was coming to the end of my undergrad, I want to say, and I had designed a t-shirt for the university, and I ended up winning that competition, and that design went into production, and from it came a t-shirt, a hat, a bag, and some other accessories. And I distinctively remember, I don't remember if it was the dean of our college or some other person, saw me in passing, and they just simply stated to me, "You're a professional designer now." And I kind of shrugged it off and chuckled at it. And now I'm looking at myself like, why did I do that? Why did I shrug it off and why did I chuckle at it? It was a very real statement, and it came from a place of sincerity, and it was absolutely the truth. I was professionally a designer because I had sold something that I created. Not only did I sell it, but the university sold it. It was an image, a design that I created. And, you know, in that moment, I was super overjoyed, but I denied myself a lot of the pleasure to completely rejoice in it because I felt like at any moment the shoe was going to drop and somebody would come and like steal my pleasure away, so to speak. And don't get me wrong, it was an absolute chore to go through the whole process because there was so much that I learned in it with licensing and legalism and a whole bunch of other things that played into creating something for another entity and going through the licensure aspect of it. But I truncated my happiness, and I got to a point with each new accolade, I would truncate my happiness more and more and more because there was always someone looming that would kind of throw shade over the situation. And I guess I stepped in before they could do it and self-deprecated enough so that that wouldn't hurt. But I'm reminded of Audre Lorde's words right now that the master's house will never be dismantled with the master's tools. And I'm jacking it up. But essentially, I will never undo or overshadow or break down the actions that other people have visited upon me by co-opting their negativity. And so that brings me to the point that I was bringing up when Dr. Nina said, for those who know me, my name is Dr. Nina. I've been questioning here for the past couple of months. Do I call myself Dr. Alondra? Is that pompous? Is that presumptuous? Is that too much? And I felt like addressing myself as such seemed odd. And I had to interrupt that line of thinking a couple of days ago and say to myself, why is it odd? How could it possibly be odd? You earned your doctorate with all the work, blood, sweat, tears, endless nights, endless mornings, through a pandemic, mind you. I was working full-time teaching when the pandemic started, and then I switched over halfway to get back into the doctorate program in 2020. And I was mothering and daughtering and being a girlfriend And I was doing so much to appease other people that I had erased my needs in that. But with every obstacle that has stood in the way, I've overcome. And I finished my PhD ahead of people that had come in after me, or excuse me, that had come in before me. And I was determined to get it done and get it done the way that I wanted it to, that I wanted to, and get it done in a timely fashion. Despite teaching full time, despite working on a business, despite, you know, my home life, everything else that was going on. And I said to myself, why would I discount that? Why would I discount the money that has been spent, the time that has been lost, the tears that have been shed in this moment because I felt like I didn't earn it or deserve it? Mostly, I didn't feel like I deserved it. And because people wouldn't understand, I was like, no, that's my title. Just like I had denied several years prior, a friend of mine telling me that you are an artist. Just like I had denied several years, you know, after that, someone telling me that I was a professional designer. And there are so many other little intricate details of my life that have occurred that I have denied myself pleasure. And so Dr. Anina was talking about that. And why am I not believing myself to do these things? Again, this is another very professional doctor who is examining herself and why it seems to be a problem for her to see herself as she is. And she was saying that it's not that she didn't believe what God said about her. She didn't believe what she said about herself. And it's so funny because I journaled something similar where I was like, my trust is not shaken from what the Lord had said. It's me. I feel like I'm on baby fawn legs, you know, newborn fawn legs where I don't know how to use them yet. And I'm on very wavering ground because of all the things that have occurred in my past where people didn't give me the, I suppose, recognition that I felt like I was due. And so I have to stand here today and say, like, I don't need that. Just like when people say that they need closure. And I've been a person who does not need closure. And I just have to kind of translate me not needing closure to this whole other new dynamic where I don't need other people's recognition. The facts are the facts. I did what I did. If someone wants to say, like, they don't recognize me as a doctor, that's fine. But I have a very large document called my dissertation to which I wrote. I have a degree. I have a diploma to which I can offer them. That is the fact that that has happened. And whether people want to recognize it, that's okay. I have to be the first person to recognize it, though. So I suppose a lot of this comes from, it feels a bit like survivor's guilt, if we're honest, like survivor's guilt and imposter syndrome. And we dance around those things because we don't want to fully admit that we feel disingenuous sometimes when we step out of what our norm has been, or we remove ourselves from that of which we came. And I think I have to tell myself that that's not my fault, I suppose. Fault is it feels weird here, but my goals for me, my standards for myself, the things that I want to attain and achieve are just that, they're mine. And I can want something for another person as much as I would like, but if that person does not gravitate towards the betterment of their life, then there's nothing that I can do for them except for encourage them in the times of need. And so it's not necessarily that I'm a survivor, but I had standards for myself that may have differentiated from what other people wanted for their lives. I don't smoke. So I'm just using this as an example, but I don't smoke. So all I can say is that, like, hey, my aspirations is that I don't smoke. Your aspirations can be that I smoke as much as I possibly want all day, all night. And that's the business that you take up. But I refuse for it to be the business that I take up. Does that make me better than an individual? No. It makes me want something more or different for my life. And I think that's how we have to start looking for, or looking at what we call survivor's guilt. Like, I made it out of the situations that once overcame my life. I'm a better me because of it. And that's it. That there's no comparison. There's no thinking about people that you may have left behind. Chances are, if they were left behind, so to speak, they were not coming with you to begin with. That's just what it is. And I know a lot of us lose friends in our journeys. But it's not even really a loss. These people probably were not meant to come with you. Because if they did, they would be there. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm definitely speaking to myself about this. But, like, I'm so thankful that I came across her video, because it really spoke life back into me as I am on this journey of growth as an artist, as a designer, as a teacher, an educator, to stand more firmly on my own two feet and not need to hear the voices of recognition behind me. If there are people that cheer me on, wonderful, but I have to cheer me on first. I have to be the one to get up and do the work, because people propping you up are wonderful, but they will never bear the weight of what you're trying to do for you. And so me addressing myself as an artist as something that I'm probably going to struggle with a bit, because art is subjective. And while it feels like I'm on this hiatus of art making, so to speak, like, I'm always making something. I'm always doing art. I'm always creating, whether that be sewing, crocheting, printmaking, whatever. There are tons of things that I will always be doing. And I have to stand up for myself, to myself even, and reify that I am this thing. I am these things, because these hands work continuously towards that. And while there's evidence of me being a doctor, I feel like it's a little more nebulous for the other aspects of my life. And maybe that's why it's been difficult for me to attach, like, art. Like, art, again, is very subjective. So one person may not call what I do art, but it is. And so part of talking into this microphone is for me to reify those things that I am for myself, to empower myself as I attempt to empower others through my creation, through my patches, through my artwork, through my totes. Because I need it just as much as I need to give it. I remember I had an ethics teacher, and this probably will be my last point today, but I remember having an ethics teacher many years ago, when I was at junior college, and he said, we oftentimes give in abundance the thing which we lack. And I think his example was something along the lines of, if we need a friend, we oftentimes go above and beyond in our friendships. If we need love, we oftentimes give so much love, because that is a thing that we are overcompensating for. And that has stuck with me for many, many, many a year, that I try to uplift other people because I feel like I need that. And in so doing, it does uplift me, and it brings me joy to serve other people in that respect. So, thank you for listening. Until next time.